Welcome to this week's episode of Lagnapod, everybody. I took a week off, so this I'm back.
Slacker.
I'm Rob Hulbert, by the way. I'm one of your co-hosts, along with
Ashley Trice
and Trice Brown.
We got some Trices here. No relations. No relations. Yes.
So, not that I wouldn't want to be related to you, Trice, but everybody gets really confused about that.
Yes, so, this Trice thing.
Yeah.
So on the cover this week, we've got a beautiful picture of the west end of Dauphin Island. It's a lot of folks probably have never been out there. It's just miles, I think, 6 miles of basically just sand.
I think I'm not exactly sure on the length.
But sand, hermit crabs, and
horseshoe crabs.
Yeah, horseshoe birds, crabs, seagull poop, and all that stuff. And that
it's now, what I call my happy place.
Yeah, like to go out there quite a bit. And it just the cover story that Gabe Tynes wrote this week is about the purchase of that piece of property from individuals who owned it.
Right. Which, as I told Gabe earlier, I was like, my biggest takeaway from that story is that it was not already public land. I guess we've all been trespassing on it for years and years now.
Yeah.
So
it's, basically it's been purchased to.
From the Riley Boykin Smith. I can't think of the name of their foundation and a group of investors and for $6.5 million.
They invested in sand and it paid off.
Yes.
Yes. They did well. So that paid off for them. They, but the long term basically is, the people now own it and it's going to be a public, I mean, it's publicly owned. I don't know if that makes it a public beach per se. I don't know.
You just can't get to it unless you have a boat.
So. Yeah. How do you typically get to it? I mean, you just take a boat out there, right?
You take your boat out there.
I guess if you've got a four wheeler, you can just drive out there.
I mean, you could walk. I don't know. Can you walk from the West End Beach all the way down there? I don't know if you can just like take off. I think there's like a.
There was Katrina Cut.
Yeah.
It was a huge gouge in it, but they filled it up with riprap and
sand. It's the rock. I mean, so if you like wanted to
if you can scale
traverse
the rocks,
over the rocks, you could, but it's been a long time since.
We may
since
send
I've
Trice out here next week to
been
do that.
On, yeah. It's been to the West End Beach.
Spend a week on the West End of Dauphin.
Yeah, you might
Island
can find the Bayou La Bash, Mary Gemo, Theodore football coach.
Theodore football coach, he may be out there.
Beating up some folks or
hey
whatever.
Hey now, that's a little rough.
Allegedly. Yes.
But you know, that's, people go out there all the time and, we'll segue into one of these things. It's, Dauphin Island is kind of the mirror image of where Fort Morgan comes out. And often these islands, I've been around them my whole life too, you get a lot of rip currents around them and a lot of that off Fort Morgan as well and Gulf Shores. And this past week we had a real tragedy with a deputy who lost his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away trying to save some people. Yeah. Yes, the deputy, his name was Bill Smith.
Yes.
And he went out there and ended up, there were a couple of people in trouble in the waves.
From Chicago, I hear. So, I mean, and he and his partner, Sydney Wentworth, they had both been trained by the Baldwin County Fire Rescue to deal with rip currents and rescues in rip currents. And they both still were in trouble. I mean, luckily she was okay, but he lost his life. But I mean, it's just, and then yet again today, they had another rescue call for down on Fort Morgan Road. All these people come in from out of town and they don't understand how dangerous the water is. They say, it's just water. I can go get out in it. And, I mean, to us, like hearing that those people the other day were drowned. I mean, the weather was terrible on Sunday. We're like, what in the world were these people doing out in that water in the first place? There are very few days I would even get in the water on the Gulf side of Fort Morgan.
Yeah,
let my kids get in it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. The water runs through there pretty quickly a lot of times. I mean, if you stand out on the end of these islands, sometimes you can see the water.
You can see where the rip currents are.
Really going in.
But someone from up, the Midwest or up north, they're going to have no idea how to spot that. And so they definitely need to get some sort of warning system. But with all that land, it's private property. Where are you going to put it?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And, I was a lifeguard for years, but I was a pool lifeguard. So I didn't, we didn't have a lot of currents in the pools. It was no Baywatch type of thing.
But weigh in with your expert opinion.
I did take life saving and I did take advanced life saving. And the thing that people always forget about rip currents is that you don't swim against them. I think we all know that, but instinctively people, you panic because when you start getting pulled out, I've been in rip currents before and you feel like I got to get out of this thing. And, if you're a strong swimmer, if it starts to grab you, you can. But if you're not very strong and you start to fight against it and it's pulling you out and you get more panicky because you're being pulled out to sea is what it feels like. And, really what you should do is go with the flow.
Float, and
float or swim with it and get out of it and then, swim back to shore when you can. But it's tough to remember to do that.
When you're scared, panicking. Yeah.
And, of course, these officers that went out there and, he's 57, I think is what his age was, which, he's a little older guy, a little heavier guy. And that's a tough thing to get out there and do to try to save somebody in one of those. And I think he went out there and gave his flotation device to that person who survived because of it.
Yeah. He's definitely a hero
It is. It is a heroic action, but God, it would be very terrifying to have to go save people in a rip current. It would be hard to do.
Yeah.
So, that's our warning this week is be careful when people are out there, be careful with this stuff.
Yeah. Tell your friends that are visiting from elsewhere. They need to be aware of this. There's actually a new app. I think it's through the National Weather Service that gives you, you can put where you are, and it says if there are, the rip current is high, the risk is high, low, or whatever, at your exact pinpoint.
Maybe that's the answer to some of this stuff where you can't have a warning system per se, have the flags out on these private property, but people really ought to, if that app exists, people really ought to be. I mean, not. I'm saying it doesn't exist.
It does exist. But, for us, we know this, because we live here. But how would these people who are traveling, it's their very first day, and then they're excited, and they run out. Yeah. They're like, they're not naturally going to go, oh, even if they see a sign, I just don't think they're going to go, oh, I need to check the rip currents.
I know it's always been the number one thing I worry about when my kids.
All the way down the beach expressway
says, "Hey, there are rip currents."
Yes, you will die unless you check this app. They ought to do that kind of stuff.
It is. It really is a problem, and it happens every year.
Also, don't think people. If you had no idea what a rip current was, and someone said there are rip currents today, would you really know what that means exactly?
Probably not.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't.
I mean, it needs to be more bold messaging, like death currents. Yeah. The death currents will get you.
I think people don't realize, that it can get you pretty quickly. Yeah. And if you're not, you don't have to be in really, really deep water for that to happen. And it's, they get into water and think, I can go splash around in the Gulf. And it may not even be something that's really obvious at first.
Sometimes it's hard to see them. Some of them are really easy to spot. I've tried to teach my kids to spot them, but.
Yeah. It is my biggest fear when I've gone to the beach with my kids is always just, make sure we don't have any of that going on because it'll just drag you away in a hurry. But, we're going to come back and talk about some less somber things in a moment after our first break here.
Sounds good.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
And we're back with Ragnapod. Second segment
of the 22nd episode
of the 22nd episode. Wow, with two trices.
Oh my gosh!
Oh wow, there's a lot of twos here.
Yeah,
I'm actually a second as well.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, it's all coming around.
Wait, but I'm a third. Is trice two or three?
No, thrice is thrice.
That's right. Oh, well. All right.
He's at second.
Let's start this over.
No. Anyway, now let's not start it over. People want to know it.
People want to know how dumb I am. Yeah. Anyway, the so you, Trice, you had some interesting stories this week. One of them about malware, meaning badware, right? From the Latin, badware. Yes. And so that it hit the county this week. Tell us a little bit about what you found out about.
So Mobile County Systems, they discovered that they had been hit with like a malware attack, right? And they, the protocol for like events like this, I talked with Abe Harper from Harper Technologies about this. He's very familiar with things like this. He's not directly involved with what happened,
but he's a smart guy. He knows. He knows.
He puts systems in place for other people, just not the county.
Not the county. But he was explaining how it's pretty standard protocol for whenever something like this happens, to be very careful about what you actually put out and like what you
into the media and the public, right?
Because you don't want someone to realize that you're on to them or you have any idea of what they're doing. So essentially, because the county did not put out too much information about it, they put out one statement and then the next day they updated it just a little. And he basically just explained how they, you can't like tell people, I'm feeling like in circles, but
they just want to come out and say, hey, we know this is exactly what's happening and where it's coming from, type
like,
thing.
See, like, we know that we were hit right here,
right?
And that this information was stolen, yada yada yada.
Yeah, and the bad guys don't need to know exactly, you know, what they have to, what they have on them, all, you know,
And also, like, you want to kind of avoid maybe starting more of a panic when it's not necessary.
Yeah, like not everyone's information was stolen or anything like that. I thought it was really interesting the way he talked about how they sort of quarantine the systems just like you would in a COVID kind of thing. You like first you go in and you look and see, you know, who's sick, what part of the system is sick, and then you kind of isolate that and treat that. And then sometimes it's worse than others. So it sounds like it wasn't too terrible for the county this time.
But it is something we're talking about all the time lately.
It's scary.
You know,
we
have had, of course, the
pipelines
and the meat production. We're losing meat because of this. We're having
If I lose my steaks over this stuff, I'm going to have to get into on these Russians.
You know, the government's saying they're not going to allow people to pay these ransoms to these hackers that are doing this kind of stuff. And I guess, you know, I'm probably one of those people who walks around going, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, it's, I'm sure that my
Except
personal security.
Any hackers out there, Lanyap is got the tightest around.
Of our several listeners, yes. Don't, if any of you are hackers, you can't, don't worry.
Impenetrable,
about it. We'll be found out immediately. But yeah, I mean, it does make you worry more. I worry more about it. All of a sudden, it's another worry to add to the pile of things I'm worried
about.
Well,
I mean, I think what's so interesting about this, too, is these hackers ask for just the right amount of money. Like, actually, 60 Minutes had something on Sunday about this. You know, all these hospitals that are targeted. Well, they're shut down for days. They can't. They don't have anybody's patients' records. And they'll ask for $100,000. So what are they going to do? Sit there and negotiate and not be able, someone's going to die.
They'll
because
lose
they
more than that and somebody will die.
And so they ask for just the right amount of money and they often take it and they usually put their systems right back on. There was some little small town, Leeds, Alabama, the home of Charles Barkley, I think. They did the same thing. They got $8,000 from them. You know, and but you know, it takes, and apparently
they turned Charles Barkley right back on.
He was never off. They were not able to turn him off. But of course, if you're a business and you're weighing the pros and cons, you'd never want to pay that. But I mean, if you see what all the carnage is going to cause if you don't pay it, I mean, sometimes that's the smart business decision to pay it. And so, which is terrible. I blame the cryptocurrency on it.
Well, and but they were able to get some of this money back via the cryptocurrency. So that, which everybody always said, no, you can't trace crypto, blah, blah, blah. But now they got some back. They did trace it down. Yeah. So you wonder what that means long term. I think we're kind of far afield from what's happened here in Mobile. But
It's happened at Spring Hill Hospital. Yeah, it happened it at has. The port. It's happened.
It is happening.
I mean, it's happening. It's happened in multiple places in Mobile.
It's a problem for a lot of businesses. And I mean, I don't think you can have a business where you don't at least think about this is an issue. You know, the school systems, I know, are very worried about it. Everybody's worried about it. So, you know, going forward, hopefully we can all come up with better passwords. Is that what we need?
That's one of the ways they get in.
More passwords, better passwords.
I think one of them was password 123 or something.
That always gets you. You know, that's the one. I'm changing mine to password 345.
That's tight.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I didn't say that. Anyway.
Yeah. Exclamation point.
So the exclamation point always throws them off.
Yeah.
So, Trice, you had another story this week that was a little more strange or a little bizarre. So what was that one?
So in recent weeks, there have been a string of fires popping up in Walmarts around the area. There have been, I think it's almost 2 weeks ago now, was the first one in at the Beltline Walmart. There's just a few suspects, and they go in there. You can kind of tell by the way they're looking. You know, most people aren't masked anymore, but these people, they have their baseball hat. They have a mask on. Some of them have gloves.
Yeah,
on long sleeve shirts.
They're wearing asbestos,
which people look creepy in Walmart. But still, that would sometimes they look creepy, not always, but you know,
so elitist,
right.
Have you been to the? You're so elitist. You probably haven't even been to a Walmart lately.
It's been a while.
I was there this past weekend.
Been a while.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
I was there out with the people.
Well, you know what?
That this makes past
you a,
weekend
that makes you a suspect. Not me. I don't fit.
I was at the Beltline this past weekend. The fire was already extinguished.
Local.
Yes, but anyway.
Were you nervous at all?
I was trying to find out which aisle I was in. I couldn't determine.
Yeah, that's a bizarre thing, though, that people are. So I guess there's been one in Gulfport, one in Biloxi.
Jackson, Mississippi, I think.
Yeah. So,
or am I making that up?
Jackson. I think it's the FBI in Jackson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so Gulfport.
I think it's just
Range
along the
line,
coast, too, but still, I mean, it's a 60-mile area that
they're Rangeline's been closed.
Yeah.
What? They still haven't opened back
they're
up.
They're actually opening on Friday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, so it was a big enough fire to shut them down.
Yeah. That's it's amazing though that is occurring. It's very strange, and why would somebody want to do this? I mean, there's always we've already made the dumb fire sale jokes, but it's why would somebody go to Walmart and set Walmart on fire? It's obviously this is premeditated. They're doing it at different Walmarts. They're dressed the same. More or less the same.
Right.
It's the same people, clearly.
So
what is
apparently one of the news stations has a FBI profiler coming in to give some reasons. I have not heard his, but I've been thinking about this.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, former disgruntled employees could be on a Reddit board somewhere. I would think it's larger than just a family. Doing it, maybe.
You don't think it's Target sending them out there?
It could be Target.
It could be Target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Or the local hardware stores that were put out of business.
I mean, it could be any number of stores that have been put out of business.
Yeah. I don't know. So.
Well, it's very strange for sure. You know, hopefully they'll catch these guys pretty soon and we'll get to find out exactly what it is. I would love to find the reasons for this. I'd love to hear it.
We'll know at some point.
Maybe,
well, will this
maybe
be?
Is this?
No, it wouldn't be a federal offense, but I guess it's in multiple states. Would that make it?
I don't know that for sure, but I don't think it would make it a federal offense. But certainly,
but also,
it's a felony.
Walmart's national security team is on this. That's one of my favorite things about it. Yes,
they probably have a serious national security team.
They do. They probably have former the head of.
You know, they've got machine guns. There's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, don't they sell them? I don't.
To me, that would be the funniest sitcom ever. Like the Walmart security detail. Anyway.
Trying to catch these arsonists down on the Gulf Coast.
That and just other random shenanigans in Walmart.
People making meth over in certain aisles.
Yeah, living inside of them. Yeah,
it happens. It's I think it's just giving me one more reason not to go to Walmart, and that's all I need.
Snob, such a snob.
All I needed. Anyway, but we'll talk about that off mic here in a bit. But all right, we're gonna take another break for a second. We'll be back with the third segment.
Hero Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dauphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
And the third and final segment of Lagnapod will begin right now.
That's the crazy one.
That's usually the crazy one. Yeah, that's the weird one. So we'll talk a little bit about the mayoral candidates, the challengers. They're showing a little spark this
getting
week,
getting a little saucy this week at the city council.
Tell us a little bit about what that entailed.
Well, so and Dale did a story on this, I guess. This was from yesterday's meeting. This is Wednesday, so yeah, Tuesday. So trash pickup has been delayed for quite some time now, and Councilman Fred Richardson, who's also running for mayor, has really sunk his teeth into this issue, saying it's late and it's ridiculous. I think my favorite quote of it from the meeting yesterday, if Hurricane Willie Earle had been here last week, I could understand why we're so backed up. But really, it's not, and this is not to be confused with garbage. This is not your garbage cart. This is the trash that you put up,
your waste,
limbs, and your you know, table that you decided you hate.
Your old refrigerators and junk that you burned out cars, whatever you can haul into the median.
Fits in the space allowed. Car would not.
Chop it up, you can get it taken.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but apparently, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong here, I know you will. They ordered these new trash trucks maybe over a year ago,
two years ago, I think.
But because just like everything else, there's a chip shortage, and so they can't get them.
The trucks are delayed because of COVID.
Yeah, the chip shortage, because just like cars, you can't get a new car anywhere. So they can't get them, and so they're backed up, and they're just trying to deal with the situation the best they can. But, I mean, you know, Fred's using it as a campaign issue, saying you can't provide a basic service. And
I'm not sure it's a real issue, but at least they're showing some, you know, some sort of fight. I mean, you know, it's at least showing some interest in trying to win a race.
You know, everybody can turn a situation like that into a campaign issue. It's, you know, it's probably a good move, but on Fred's part. But also Carlos Finley, municipal judge Carlos Finley, was down, and he not really being saucy. He
came
just
to the city council meeting the other day.
But he has, you know, so the mayor had introduced this idea for the Hall of Fame Park, which would have all of our Hall of Fame baseball greats. And maybe, do they do football too? Or left the door open?
It's just the baseball at first.
Right. And then the empty pedestal for our future baseball greats. Right. Yes. That would all be down at Cooper Riverside.
Right.
Which, and so Carlos has an idea that's a little different, which would put, I guess it would take the Hank Aaron loop and make it a baseball diamond.
Yeah.
And so, and I forget which is Hank.
He somebody's wants to have Hank Aaron batting with Satchel Paige pitching. Yes, to him. And then it will be kind of formed out like a diamond across within the Hank Aaron loop.
Which I don't hate that idea. The people who he named. Like Jake Peavy is also a pitcher.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you just put him in the outfield for, you know?
I guess, you know, you put him out there.
I don't know. Or on third base, or I don't know.
It's a, you know, the question of whether people are going to wander around and
realize it's a baseball diamond. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I think, you know, as I've said many times, I think we ought to rename some of these streets like Cedar Street or some of these just plain.
Boring
names inside the Hank Aaron loop. Name them after the baseball players.
Yeah,
you know, it makes sense if you're going to do this baseball themed thing in the loop, then do that. This is originally, I guess, this is another one of these situations where they feel like, or Carlos is.
That's not where there's a little bit of the accusing the mayor of stealing his idea.
His ideas, yes, and so it's. But it is, again, you know, that it's political season. That's fine. It does show, again, a little bit more, at least a little life in this race.
I mean, we're a little less than 2 months, a little over 2 months away. Let's see. Yeah, today, yes. August 24th, I think, is the election. So, I mean, you would not know that at all.
No, it's been pretty Dullsville. And yeah. I mean, I think as I pointed out a few weeks ago, I looked it up. The mayor has roughly $1 million in money in his account, and Carlos and Fred, between the two of them, had 16,000.
Right.
Between the two of them, Fred had 11,000 and Carlos had 5,000, which actually he had loaned his campaign 5,000. So, you know, he basically had spent whatever money he's been donated. So, I mean, that's, and we get in, people get, oh, you know, it's all about it's grassroots and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But you still.
But I mean, has anyone had a fundraiser even? I mean,
if you're not attracting. If you're not turning the hearts and minds of people who will write you a check for something, you know, at least 500 or 1,000, I mean, it doesn't make people, you know, a $500 donation doesn't mean that person is bought out or $1,000. Right. I mean,
heck, that's even not, a $20 donation.
You know, but I mean, I'm just saying it's, you know, some of these things are very, you know, some of the donations that he's had particularly were very small. And so you got to at least be getting some of that. To me, that shows some level of support.
It doesn't, right.
Just money does not equate that you're going to win, but it does show some support.
Right.
You know, if you look at the past races, there's definitely the losers have had hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, I don't think it's a good sign if you're running with $5,000 in the bank or $10,000 in the bank. It's not a good sign. But, you know, if they're out there fired up a little bit more, maybe they bring in some more money, bring in some more people. And that's, yeah, that has some potential.
So, well, another, I really liked your column this week and all the shenanigans at the University of Alabama that you've been covering. So,
yeah, that's it. One thing I was looking at, and it got me thinking about when Nick Saban got his new contract.
Roll Tide.
Everybody's excited. Yeah. Roll Tide, RTR, you know, it's very excited to have Nick resign, but it also got me thinking about all these coaches, not Nick because he always wins, you know, but there's so many of these coaches they sign.
Oh yeah. Gus Malzahn got the sweetest deal of all time.
Walked off with $21 million.
And he gets to go work wherever he wants to, and they still have to pay him.
Yes.
Like a lot of those will have like some sort of clause where they will stop paying you, but no.
Right. No, he just gets $21 million in a big satchel to walk out of town with. And that's 3 years after he signed his last contract.
Right.
You know, so he signed somebody, a $49 million contract. 3 years later, you don't like him anymore. You got to give him $21 million to leave town. And I mean, this goes on even with some of the coordinators, things like that. The defensive coordinator at Auburn walked off with $4 million, you know? So, and you think about that, wow, that happens in the football side of things all the time. And everybody, well, it's, you know, that's paid for through these foundations that are put together by the boosters, and the boosters, they've got a lot of money and they're just throwing their money in there. It's not state money. We shouldn't care about it. That's really their play money. And if you make that point, but if you start looking at what's happening on the administrative side at schools, the same thing's happening.
Yeah.
These guys are getting paid unbelievable amounts of money to run the universities. And when they don't like them anymore, they don't want them anymore, or they fail, or they get fired, or whatever, they buy them out with these huge payouts.
Right.
And it's, you know, it is, it's really fascinating to see. And, you know, you look at the president of Auburn, he walked off with millions of dollars.
A War Eagle trice.
Yeah. Even a War Eagle from that.
Mean for that?
There's no War Eagles for that. You know, you save those War Eagles for something good, but it's, but I mean, you know, in Alabama, the previous chancellor, Ray Hayes, he was there for 2 years as chancellor. That's it.
Yeah.
And they gave him, he left so the current chancellor could come in and start making $1 million a year. Hayes left and they let him come back for 2 years to do some kind of nebulous thing about
healthcare.
Yeah.
Something.
Student health, mental health or something like that for 2 years. And they paid him $1.2 million over those 2 years.
And what did he actually do? He probably just commissioned a study for somebody.
I promise you, I worked at
was
the
he out in the the trenches interviewing people? Yeah, I mean, maybe he was, but I doubt it.
That there were people on campus already who could do that work,
right?
And they wouldn't have to pay that. And you know, it's just kind of crazy.
Oh, I thought you made a really good point too. Like on the the athletic sides of things, you can kind of justify it because of the foundations and because yes, they make a bajillion dollars off the jerseys and all of that stuff. But on the academic side and the administrative side, I mean, this is taxpayer money and it's parents trying to scrape up so they can, you know.
It's hard to say, you know, hey, we're going to raise tuition, which they do every year.
Yes.
And by the way, we're giving $1.2 million to this former chancellor who was already paid a ridiculous amount of money to be chancellor. He's already made a fortune. We're paying him to leave for
the $16,000 moving stipend from someone to move from Mountain Brook to Tuscaloosa. Right. Or are they moving the entire house?
Yeah. $16,000 to move.
I think you literally could move the house for that.
It is. They're just.
Like, take it off the foundation and move it.
I called a moving company and asked them what would it cost to move a 5-bedroom home from Mountain Brook to Tuscaloosa. They told me $1,500.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I really think you could move some houses.
Probably like put it up on a truck and move it. Yeah, I don't, you know, $16,000 is an outrageous amount of money.
And then she didn't even move.
She had not moved.
Yeah.
Yes, she hadn't even moved. Yeah. This was given to them, she's got moving expenses and she hasn't moved. But we have her $16,000. There's money being thrown away.
Yeah, it's play money.
It is play money. And it is the same kind of
thing. But it's not play money to that mom and dad sitting down there trying to figure out how to send their kid to college. And that's just straight up bullshit. First curse word.
But when you look at the chancellor of Alabama right now, he's his first 2 years in the position, he's made basically about $1 million a year. And he gets part of that is $75,000 a year that he gets as a living expense to buy a home, a housing stipend to purchase his home, which he bought a $1.2 million home a couple of years ago. But
it costs him how much? $75,000.
They give him $75,000 as a housing stipend to help pay for his home. And so, but the chancellors in the past have had there's a house on campus for the chancellors to live in for free. So this guy who's the guy who's managing the money for the university, he's supposed to be the fiscal manager of the university, decides it's smarter for him to buy his own house and have the university pay him $75,000 a year. So now 2 years into it, he's $150,000 in to live off campus instead of going to this mansion that they have that he could live in for free.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that's the kind of thing that's going on at the universities. It's a pretty.
We got in the wrong business, my friend.
I'm telling you that.
Trice, you still have some time. Academia is the way to go.
I mean, it is. You look at.
Academia. Macadamia nut.
Academia is delicious.
A chocolate covered academia nut.
They're delicious. Make some marzipan out of them.
Yeah.
It is really fascinating to see what they're paying with if you look at UAB's salaries for their top officers and stuff, there's out of 21 that are getting paid, the 21 they listed who got paid, 7 of those get paid more than $1 million.
And a lot of
these
aren't lifers. These are people that are like in their late 30s. Or
I don't know. Some of them are people who are definitely, there's folks who are definitely younger
just
folks
connected,
who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Trustees, families.
And those are people
that
that they have to report. Those are the only ones they have to report because UAB is a charity. It's a 501c3. So all we get is the top officers and things like that. But there's out of those 21 people, the lowest.
You have to think they have assistants and stuff like that.
The lowest paid one was over 300.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot of money.
And follow the money. Keep following that money, Rob.
We're following it. Well, with that, we're going to follow the end of this thing out of here. That was a terrible segue.
But now people will be happy that it's over.
They'll be happy it's over. I'm happy it's over.
Yes.
But we're going to take off, and we'll be back next Thursday, hopefully with some better segue.
Bye.
The LagnaPod is a Something Extra Publishing production. Executive producers are Rob Holbert and Ashley Trice. Music is by Sumpole Sounds and Electro Animals. Only subscribers like you have access to this podcast. Tell your friends they can sign up at my.lagniappemobile.com. For advertising opportunities, please call 251-450-4466.